Hey everyone, welcome back to Stoic Saga, where we break free from mental constraints and crush limiting beliefs with the wisdom of philosophy. Today, we've got a jam-packed episode that's going to change the way you see life, work, and happiness. Are you rushing through life and ending up flat on your face? Ever wondered why expecting perfection often leads to disappointment? Or maybe you're curious about how to find joy, even when everything seems like a dumpster fire. Stay tuned, because we're diving into all this and more. In today's video, we're continuing our self-development series from the previous episodes. If you're new here or missed the last one, you can check out all the episodes through the link in the description below. These lessons aren't just educational content. They're a daily, all-encompassing approach to life. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. If you're digging this series, show some love by liking the video and dropping a keep it up in the comments below. Are you ready? Let's get started. Lesson 1. Only fools rush in. Your philosophical guide to slowing your roll and not face-planting in life. All right, folks, let's talk about rushing in. No, we're not talking about diving headfirst into a mosh pit or jumping off a cliff without a parachute, although those might sound like a good time to some. We're talking about the tendency to make hasty decisions, act impulsively, and jump to conclusions without fully considering the consequences. The impulsive epidemic. We live in a world that's constantly urging us to hurry up, move faster, and get things done yesterday. We're bombarded with notifications, deadlines, and expectations that leave us feeling like we're always playing catch-up. It's no wonder we're prone to impulsivity, making snap judgments, and rushing into things without thinking them through. As the philosopher Socrates famously said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." But we could also say, the unexamined impulse is not worth acting on. The philosophical speed bump. The ancient philosophers like Aristotle and Seneca understood the importance of deliberation and careful consideration. They believed that rushing into things without thinking can lead to mistakes, regrets, and missed opportunities. As Aristotle put it, it is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. In other words, we should be able to consider different perspectives and weigh the pros and cons before making a decision. So, how do we slow our roll and avoid the pitfalls of impulsivity? 1. Pause and reflect. When faced with a decision or a situation that triggers an impulsive response, take a moment to pause and reflect. Ask yourself, what are the facts? What are my options? What are the potential consequences of each option? 2. Consider the long term. Don't just focus on the immediate gratification or short-term benefits of a decision. Consider the long-term consequences. Will this decision still feel good in a week, a month, or a year? 3. Consult your values. What are your core values? What kind of person do you want to be? Make sure your decisions align with your values and your long-term goals. 4. Seek counsel. Don't be afraid to ask for advice from trusted friends, family members, mentors, or professionals. They can offer valuable insights, perspectives, and support. 5. Practice patience. Good things take time. Don't rush into decisions or actions just because you feel pressured or impatient. As the saying goes, slow and steady wins the race. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The impulsive shopper. Before you click the Buy Now button, take a moment to consider whether you really need that item. Will it bring you lasting joy or just a fleeting moment of satisfaction? The reactive texter. Before you send that angry text message, take a deep breath and count to 10. Then reread the message and consider whether it's really necessary or helpful. The hasty job. Hopper. Before you quit your job on a whim, take some time to weigh the pros and cons. Is there anything you can do to improve your current situation? Are you sure you're ready for a change? The impatient data. Before you dive headfirst into a new relationship, take the time to get to know the person. Don't rush into anything just because you're feeling lonely or pressured. The bottom line, impulsivity can be a recipe for disaster. It can lead to bad decisions, missed opportunities, and unnecessary drama. By pausing and reflecting, considering the long term, consulting your values, seeking counsel, and practicing patience, you can avoid the pitfalls of impulsivity and make choices that lead to greater happiness, fulfillment, and success. As the philosopher Viktor Frankl put it, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. So, next time you feel the urge to rush in, take a step back, take a deep breath, and choose wisely. Lesson 2. Don't go expecting perfection. Your philosophical guide to embracing the beautiful mess of life. All right, folks, let's have a real talk about perfection, not the airbrushed, photoshopped, Instagram-filtered kind of perfection. We're talking about the unattainable, unrealistic, and frankly soul-crushing kind of perfection that we're constantly bombarded with in today's world. The perfection pandemic. We live in a culture that's obsessed with perfection. We're told that we need to have the perfect body, the perfect job, the perfect relationship, the perfect life. We see images of flawless celebrities and influencers, and we compare ourselves to them, feeling inadequate and insecure. But here's the thing, perfection is a myth. It doesn't exist. It's an illusion created by marketing, media, and societal expectations. And chasing after this illusion can lead to anxiety, depression, and a whole lot of unnecessary suffering. As the philosopher Voltaire put it, perfect is the enemy of good. In other words, our pursuit of perfection can prevent us from appreciating the good that already exists in our lives. It can also lead us to procrastinate, to avoid taking action, and to miss out on opportunities for growth and learning. The philosophical reality check. The ancient philosophers, like the Stoics and Buddhists, understood the dangers of perfectionism. They taught us to embrace imperfection, to accept our flaws and limitations, and to find beauty in the messy, chaotic nature of life. As the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh put it, to be beautiful means to be yourself. You don't need to be accepted by others. You need to accept yourself. So, how do we break free from the perfectionism trap and embrace our perfectly imperfect selves? 1. Challenge your standards. Where did your standards of perfection come from? Are they realistic? Are they helpful? Are they serving you? Challenge your assumptions about what's perfect and create more realistic and attainable standards for yourself. 2. Focus on progress, not perfection. Instead of striving for perfection, focus on progress. Celebrate your small wins, learn from your mistakes, and keep moving forward. As the saying goes, progress, not perfection. 3. Embrace your flaws. We all have flaws and imperfections. They're what make us unique and interesting. Instead of trying to hide or fix them, embrace them as part of who you are. As the writer Anne Lamott put it, perfectionism is the voice of the oppressor, the enemy of the people. It will keep you cramped and insane your whole life. 4. Practice self-compassion. Be kind to yourself. Don't beat yourself up for your mistakes or shortcomings. Treat yourself with the same kindness and understanding that you would offer to a friend. 5. Find joy in the journey. Life is not a destination, it's a journey. Don't get so caught up in the pursuit of perfection that you forget to enjoy the ride. As the philosopher Alan Watts put it, this is the real secret of life, to be completely engaged with what you are doing in the here and now, and instead of calling it work, realize it is play. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The perfectionist student. The perfectionist student is so afraid of making mistakes that they procrastinate on assignments, avoid asking for help, and experience high levels of stress and anxiety. By embracing a growth mindset and focusing on progress, not perfection, they can learn to enjoy the learning process and achieve academic success. The Instagram influencer. The Instagram influencer feels pressured to present a perfect image online, but they're constantly struggling to keep up with the curated highlight reels of others. By embracing their imperfections, sharing their struggles, and being authentic, they can connect with their audience on a deeper level and build a more sustainable brand. The overworked professional. The overworked professional is constantly striving to be the best, working long hours, sacrificing their personal life, and neglecting their health. By setting boundaries, prioritizing self-care, and focusing on what truly matters, they can achieve a healthier work-life balance and a more fulfilling life. The bottom line, perfection is a myth. It's a trap that can lead to anxiety, stress, and unhappiness. By challenging our standards, focusing on progress, embracing our flaws, practicing self-compassion, and finding joy in the journey, we can break free from the perfectionism trap and live a life that's more authentic, joyful, and fulfilling. As the poet Leonard Cohen put it, "There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." Lesson 3. The good life is anywhere. Your philosophical passport to happiness. No plane ticket required. All right, folks, let's talk about the good life. No, we're not talking about sipping champagne on a yacht in the Mediterranean or living in a mansion with a butler and a personal chef. Although, hey, if that's your thing, more power to you. We're talking about a deeper, more meaningful kind of good life, the kind that's available to everyone, regardless of their circumstances. We're talking about the good life that's within reach, right here, right now. The geographic cure-all myth. We often think of the good life as being tied to a specific location. We dream of escaping to a tropical island, moving to a bustling city, or retiring to a quiet countryside village. But here's the thing, happiness is not a place, it's a state of mind. And the good life is not about where you are, but how you live. As the philosopher Seneca put it, "It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more, that is poor." In other words, true wealth and happiness come from within, not from external circumstances. The philosophical compass. The ancient philosophers, like the Stoics and Epicureans, understood this concept well. They taught us that the good life is not about accumulating wealth or achieving external success, but about cultivating inner peace, virtue, and a sense of purpose. As the Stoic philosopher Marcus Aurelius put it, "Very little is needed to make a happy life. It is all within yourself, in your way of thinking." So, how do we create the good life wherever we are? 1. Cultivate contentment. Learn to appreciate what you have rather than focusing on what you lack. Gratitude is a powerful antidote to envy, resentment, and the constant craving for more. As the saying goes, happiness is not having what you want, but wanting what you have. 2. Find joy in the everyday. The good life is not about grand gestures or extraordinary experiences. It's about finding joy in the simple things. A good cup of coffee, a walk in the park, a conversation with a loved one. As the poet Mary Oliver put it, "Instructions for living a life, pay attention, be astonished, tell about it." 3. Connect with others. We are social creatures, and our relationships are essential to our well-being. Cultivate meaningful connections with friends, family, and community. As the philosopher Aristotle put it, "Man is by nature a social animal." 4. Pursue your passions. What are you passionate about? What makes your heart sing? Make time for the activities that bring you joy and fulfillment. As the saying goes, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. 5. Live with purpose. Having a sense of purpose gives our lives meaning and direction. It's the fuel that drives us, the reason we get out of bed in the morning. Find something you're passionate about and dedicate your time and energy to it. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The digital nomad. Digital nomads are people who work remotely and travel the world. They've created a good life for themselves by embracing a minimalist lifestyle, prioritizing experiences over possessions, and building a community of like-minded individuals. The small town dweller. The small town dweller might not have access to all the amenities of a big city, but they find joy in the slower pace of life, the strong sense of community, and the connection to nature. The urban farmer. The urban farmer transforms a vacant lot into a thriving community garden, providing fresh produce for their neighbors and creating a sense of connection and purpose in the heart of the city. The bottom line. The good life is not a geographical location. It's a state of mind. It's about cultivating contentment, finding joy in the everyday, connecting with others, pursuing your passions, and living with purpose. As the philosopher Seneca put it, the good life is everywhere, easy to find and easy to lose. So, open your eyes, folks, and start living the good life right where you are. Lesson 4. Corralling the Unnecessary, your philosophical guide to decluttering your life and your brain. All right, folks, let's talk about clutter. No, we're not just talking about that junk drawer overflowing with takeout menus and random batteries. We're talking about the mental, emotional, and even spiritual clutter that can weigh us down, distract us, and prevent us from living our best lives. We're talking about the endless to-do lists, the social obligations, the endless stream of information and notifications that bombard us every day. The clutter conundrum. We live in a world that's obsessed with accumulation. We're constantly told that we need more stuff, more experiences, more connections to be happy and successful. But the truth is, all this clutter can actually make us less happy, more stressed, and less productive. As the minimalist writer Joshua Fields Milburn put it, love people, use things. The opposite never works. In other words, our relationships, our experiences, and our personal growth are what truly matter, not the stuff we accumulate. The philosophical spring cleaning. The ancient philosophers, like the Stoics and Epicureans, understood the importance of simplicity and moderation. They believed that by focusing on what's essential and letting go of the excess, we could achieve greater clarity, focus, and inner peace. As Seneca put it, It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more, that is poor. In other words, true wealth lies not in material possessions, but in contentment and inner peace. So, how do we declutter our lives and free ourselves from the burden of the unnecessary? 1. Physical decluttering. Start by decluttering your physical space. Get rid of anything you don't use, need, or love. This includes clothes, books, gadgets, furniture, anything that's taking up space and adding to the mental clutter. As Marie Kondo, the Japanese organizing consultant, famously said, "The question of what you want to own is actually the question of how you want to live your life." 2. Digital decluttering. Our digital lives can be just as cluttered as our physical ones. Unsubscribe from email lists you don't read, unfollow social media accounts that don't inspire you, and delete apps you never use. As Cal Newport, the author of Digital Minimalism, put it, "Digital minimalism is a philosophy of technology use in which you focus your online time on a small number of carefully selected and optimized activities that strongly support things you value, and then happily miss out on everything else." 3. Mental decluttering. Our minds are often cluttered with worries, anxieties, and negative thoughts. Practice mindfulness meditation, journaling, or other techniques to quiet the mind and focus on the present moment. As the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh put it, "The present moment is filled with joy and happiness. If you are attentive, you will see it." 4. Emotional decluttering. Let go of grudges, resentments, and negative emotions that are weighing you down. Forgive yourself and others, practice gratitude, and focus on cultivating positive emotions like joy, love, and compassion. 5. Social decluttering. Not all relationships are healthy or supportive. Evaluate your relationships and let go of those that are draining your energy or bringing you down. As Jim Rohn said, "You are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with." Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The minimalist traveler. The minimalist traveler packs light, avoids tourist traps, and focuses on experiencing the local culture and connecting with people. They've learned that the best travel experiences are not about accumulating souvenirs, but about creating memories. The mindful entrepreneur. The mindful entrepreneur prioritizes their well-being and avoids overworking themselves. They set boundaries, delegate tasks, and take time for self-care. They understand that a clear and focused mind is essential for creativity and productivity. The intentional parent. The intentional parent focuses on quality time with their children rather than overscheduling them with activities. They create a calm and nurturing home environment, limit screen time, and prioritize experiences over material possessions. The bottom line: corralling the unnecessary is not about deprivation or self-denial. It's about creating space in your life for what truly matters. By decluttering your physical space, your digital life, your mind, your emotions, and your social circle, you can free yourself from the weight of the unnecessary and live a life that's more focused, intentional, and fulfilling. As the philosopher Lao Tzu put it, "To attain knowledge, add things every day. To attain wisdom, remove things every day." Lesson 5. Where is anything better? Your philosophical guide to finding paradise. Hint: it's closer than you think. All right, folks, let's talk about the good life. No, we're not talking about sipping margaritas on a beach or winning the lottery, although those things can be nice. We're talking about the deeper, more meaningful kind of good life, the one that's filled with purpose, joy, and contentment. The kind of life that makes you feel like you're exactly where you're supposed to be. The grass is always greener syndrome. We humans are a restless bunch. We're always looking for something better, something more. We compare our lives to others, scroll through social media feeds filled with picture-perfect moments, and dream of escaping to some far-off paradise. But here's the thing, the grass is rarely greener on the other side. That exotic vacation destination might be overrun with tourists, that dream job might come with a soul-crushing commute, and that seemingly perfect relationship might be hiding a whole lot of drama behind closed doors. As the philosopher Seneca put it, there are more things likely to frighten us than there are to crush us. We suffer more often in imagination than in reality. In other words, we often create our own suffering by focusing on what we lack rather than appreciating what we have. The philosophical reality check. The ancient philosophers, like the Stoics and Epicureans, understood the importance of finding contentment in the present moment. They taught us that happiness is not about chasing after external things, but about cultivating inner peace, gratitude, and a sense of purpose. As the Stoic philosopher Marcus Aurelius put it, very little is needed to make a happy life. It is all within yourself, in your way of thinking. So, how do we stop chasing after the elusive better and start appreciating the good life that's right in front of us? 1. Practice gratitude. Take time each day to appreciate the good things in your life. This could be as simple as writing down 3 things you're grateful for each morning or evening. Gratitude is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. 2. Focus on the present moment. Don't dwell on the past or worry about the future. Be present in the here and now. Pay attention to your surroundings, engage your senses, and savor the simple pleasures of life. As the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh put it, the present moment is filled with joy and happiness. If you are attentive, you will see it. 3. Find your flow. Flow is that state of complete immersion in an activity where time seems to fly by and you're completely absorbed in the moment. It's the sweet spot between challenge and skill, where you're pushing yourself but not overwhelmed. Find activities that put you in a state of flow, whether it's playing music, painting, writing, or solving complex problems. 4. Connect with others. We're social creatures, and our relationships are essential to our well-being. Make time for the people you love, cultivate meaningful connections, and build a supportive community around you. As the philosopher Aristotle put it, man is by nature a social animal. 5. Live with purpose. Having a sense of purpose gives our lives meaning and direction. It's the fuel that drives us, the reason we get out of bed in the morning. Find something you're passionate about and dedicate your time and energy to it. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The discontented traveler. The discontented traveler is always chasing the next exotic destination, but they never seem to find true happiness or fulfillment. By practicing gratitude, mindfulness, and focusing on the present moment, they can learn to appreciate the beauty and wonder of the places they visit. The workaholic. The workaholic is constantly striving for the next promotion, the bigger paycheck, the corner office. But they never seem to have enough time for their family, their friends, or themselves. By setting boundaries, prioritizing their relationships, and finding joy in their work, they can achieve a healthier work-life balance and a more fulfilling life. The social media addict. The social media addict is constantly comparing themselves to others, feeling inadequate and envious of their seemingly perfect lives. By taking a break from social media, focusing on their own strengths and accomplishments, and cultivating gratitude, they can break free from the comparison trap and find more joy and contentment in their own lives. The bottom line, the good life is not out there somewhere, it's right here, right now. By practicing gratitude, mindfulness, finding your flow, connecting with others, and living with purpose, you can create a life that's rich in meaning, joy, and fulfillment. As the philosopher Voltaire put it, the perfect is the enemy of the good. So, stop chasing after the elusive better and start appreciating the good that's already in your life. Lesson 6. Check your privilege, your philosophical guide to social awareness and conscious allyship. All right, folks, let's have a real talk about something that can be uncomfortable but is absolutely essential for personal growth and social progress. Privilege. Now, before you roll your eyes and start thinking this is just another woke lecture, hear me out. We're not here to shame or blame anyone. We're here to explore the complex and nuanced concept of privilege, to understand how it operates in our society, and to learn how we can use our privilege for good. The privilege blind spot. We all have blind spots. We're all influenced by our own experiences, our upbringing, and the social structures we're embedded in. Privilege is one of those blind spots. It's the unearned advantages and benefits that we receive based on our race, gender, class, sexual orientation, ability, and other social identities. As the feminist scholar Peggy McIntosh put it, "I have come to see white privilege as an invisible package of unearned assets that I can count on cashing in each day, but about which I was meant to remain oblivious." In other words, privilege is often invisible to those who have it, but it has a very real impact on the lives of those who don't. The philosophical framework. The ancient philosophers like Plato and Aristotle were concerned with justice and fairness. They believed that a just society is one where everyone has an equal opportunity to flourish, regardless of their social status or background. In the 20th century, the philosopher John Rawls developed a theory of justice based on the veil of ignorance. He argued that if we were to design a society from scratch, without knowing our own position in that society, we would choose a system that is fair to everyone, regardless of their race, gender, class, or other social identities. The social justice imperative. Understanding privilege is not just an intellectual exercise, it's a moral imperative. When we recognize our own privilege, we can start to dismantle the systems of oppression that perpetuate inequality and injustice. We can become allies to those who are marginalized and work towards a more equitable and inclusive society. As the civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. put it, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." So how do we check our privilege and become more conscious and effective allies? 1. Acknowledge your privilege. The first step is to acknowledge that you have privilege. This doesn't mean feeling guilty or ashamed. It means recognizing that you have unearned advantages that others don't have, and that these advantages have a real impact on your life. 2. Educate yourself. Learn about the experiences of people from different backgrounds. Read books, watch documentaries, listen to podcasts, and engage in conversations with people who have different perspectives than your own. 3. Listen and learn. Listen to the voices of marginalized people. Don't speak over them or try to explain their experiences to them. As the feminist scholar Bell Hooks put it, the classroom remains the most radical space of possibility in the academy. 4. Use your privilege for good. Use your privilege to amplify the voices of marginalized people, to advocate for change, and to create a more equitable and inclusive world. As the activist Audre Lorde said, your silence will not protect you. 5. Be humble. Recognize that you don't have all the answers and that you're still learning and growing. Be open to feedback, be willing to make mistakes, and be committed to continuous self-reflection and improvement. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The white ally, a white person who recognizes their white privilege and uses their platform to speak out against racism and advocate for racial justice. The male feminist, a man who recognizes his male privilege and works to dismantle sexism and promote gender equality. The able-bodied advocate, an able-bodied person who recognizes their privilege and works to create a more inclusive and accessible world for people with disabilities. The bottom line, checking your privilege is not about self-flagellation or virtue signaling. It's about self-awareness, empathy, and a commitment to social justice. By recognizing our own privilege, we can become more effective allies and work towards a more equitable and just society. As the philosopher Cornel West put it, justice is what love looks like in public. Lesson 7. A cure for the self, your philosophical detox from the ego trip, and why you're not the center of the universe. All right, folks, let's talk about the ego. No, we're not talking about your favorite rapper's alter ego or your inflated sense of self-importance after a compliment. We're diving deep into the philosophical concept of the ego, that part of us that's obsessed with self-image, validation, and being the center of attention. The ego epidemic. Let's face it, we live in a world that's fueled by ego. Social media is a highlight reel of curated perfection, where everyone seems to be living their best life. We're constantly bombarded with messages telling us we need to be thinner, richer, more successful, more popular. It's no wonder our egos are running rampant, constantly seeking validation and comparing ourselves to others. As the philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche put it, egoism is the very essence of a noble soul. While Nietzsche was a bit of a provocateur, he was onto something. Our egos can drive us to achieve great things, but they can also lead us down a path of self-absorption, narcissism, and ultimately, unhappiness. The philosophical reality. Check. The ancient philosophers, like the Stoics and Buddhists, recognized the dangers of the ego. They taught us that true happiness and inner peace come from letting go of our attachment to the self, from recognizing that we're not the center of the universe, and from focusing on something larger than ourselves. As the Buddha said, attachment leads to suffering. When we're attached to our egos, we're constantly worried about what others think of us. We're afraid of failure and rejection, and we're trapped in a cycle of craving and dissatisfaction. The ego antidote. So, how do we tame our egos and find a more balanced, grounded sense of self? 1. Self-awareness. The first step is to become aware of your ego. Notice when it's driving your actions, your thoughts, and your emotions. Pay attention to the stories you tell yourself about who you are and what you deserve. 2. Practice humility. Humility is not about putting yourself down. It's about recognizing your place in the grand scheme of things. It's about understanding that you're not better than anyone else and that everyone has something to offer. As the saying goes, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. 3. Cultivate gratitude. Gratitude is the antidote to the ego's insatiable hunger for more. When we focus on what we're grateful for, we shift our attention away from what we lack and towards the abundance that already exists in our lives. 4. Serve others. One of the best ways to tame the ego is to focus on serving others. When we shift our focus from ourselves to others, we realize that we're part of something bigger than ourselves and that our actions can have a positive impact on the world. 5. Practice mindfulness. Mindfulness is the practice of paying attention to the present moment without judgment. By cultivating mindfulness, we can become more aware of our thoughts and emotions, and we can learn to let go of the ego's constant chatter. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The humble celebrity. The humble celebrity doesn't let fame and fortune go to their head. They remain grounded, approachable, and grateful for their success. They use their platform to give back to their community and to inspire others. The mindful leader. The mindful leader doesn't micromanage or hoard power. They empower their team, listen to their ideas, and give credit where credit is due. They understand that true leadership is about service, not self-aggrandizement. The grateful volunteer. The grateful volunteer doesn't seek recognition or praise for their good deeds. They simply enjoy helping others and making a positive impact on their community. The bottom line, your ego is not your friend. It's a hungry ghost that's never satisfied, always craving more attention, more validation, more power. By practicing humility, gratitude, service, mindfulness, and self-awareness, you can tame your ego and find true freedom, contentment, and inner peace. As the philosopher Lao Tzu put it, "He who knows that enough is enough will always have enough." Lesson 8. Stoic Joy, your philosophical guide to finding happiness, even when life's a dumpster fire. All right, folks, let's talk about joy, not the fleeting kind that comes from a winning lottery ticket or a viral TikTok video. We're talking about the deep-seated, enduring kind of joy that comes from within, the kind that can't be shaken by external circumstances. We're talking about Stoic joy, a philosophy of happiness that's been around for over 2,000 years and is still surprisingly relevant today. The joy buzzkill. Let's face it, life can be a real drag sometimes. We face setbacks, disappointments, losses, and a whole lot of BS. It's easy to get caught up in the negativity, to focus on what's going wrong, and to forget about the simple joys that life has to offer. As the philosopher William Irvine put it, the Stoics believed that the emotions that plague us, anxiety, anger, grief, and so on, are the result of errors in judgment, and that if we can correct these errors in judgment, we can, to a large extent, eliminate these emotions from our lives. In other words, our emotions are not just reactions to external events, they're also shaped by our thoughts and beliefs. The Stoic joy hack. The ancient Stoics like Marcus Aurelius and Seneca weren't a bunch of emotionless robots. They experienced joy, love, and grief just like the rest of us. But they also had a secret weapon for dealing with life's challenges. Stoic joy. Stoic joy is not about being happy all the time or ignoring negative emotions. It's about cultivating a deep sense of inner peace and contentment that's not dependent on external circumstances. It's about finding joy in the present moment, appreciating the good things in life, and embracing the challenges that come our way. So, how do we tap into this Stoic joy and live a more fulfilling life? 1. Focus on what you can control. The Stoics believed that the only thing we can truly control is our own mind, our thoughts, our beliefs, our actions. By focusing on what we can control, we can reduce our anxiety, stress, and frustration, and we can create a sense of inner peace that's not dependent on external circumstances. 2. Practice gratitude. Take time each day to appreciate the good things in your life, no matter how small they may seem. Gratitude is a powerful antidote to negativity and can help us cultivate a more positive outlook on life. 3. Embrace virtue. The Stoics believed that virtue is the key to a good life. By practicing virtues like wisdom, courage, justice, and temperance, we can live a life that's aligned with our values and that brings us a deep sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. 4. Amor fati. Amor fati is a Latin phrase that means love of fate. It's the idea of accepting everything that happens to us, both good and bad, as part of our life's journey. By embracing amor fati, we can find meaning and purpose even in the most difficult circumstances. 5. Memento mori. Memento mori is another Latin phrase that means remember that you will die. It's a reminder of the fleeting nature of life and the importance of living each day to the fullest. By contemplating our mortality, we can gain a deeper appreciation for life and focus on what truly matters. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The Stoic parent. A parent who faces the challenges of raising children with patience, understanding, and a sense of humor. They don't let the daily stresses of parenting get them down, but instead, they focus on the joy and love that their children bring into their lives. The resilient entrepreneur. An entrepreneur who faces setbacks and failures with grace and determination. They learn from their mistakes, adapt their strategies, and keep moving forward with a positive attitude. The mindful meditator. A person who practices mindfulness meditation to cultivate inner peace and reduce stress. They learn to observe their thoughts and emotions without judgment, and they find joy in the simple act of being present. The bottom line: Stoic joy is not about being happy all the time or denying negative emotions. It's about cultivating a deep sense of inner peace and contentment that's not dependent on external circumstances. It's about finding joy in the present moment, appreciating the good things in life, and embracing the challenges that come our way. As the philosopher Marcus Aurelius put it, the happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. So, choose your thoughts wisely, folks, and let Stoic joy be your guide. Lesson 9. Your career is not a life sentence. Your philosophical guide to ditching the golden handcuffs and finding your true calling without losing your mind. All right, folks, let's have a real talk about careers. Not the climb the corporate ladder or follow your passion kind of talk, but a deeper dive into the philosophy of work, the meaning we derive from it, and the freedom to choose our own path. We're talking about ditching the golden handcuffs and embracing the idea that your career is not a life sentence. The golden handcuff syndrome. We live in a society that often equates our worth with our job titles, our salaries, and our professional achievements. We're told to follow our passion, but we're also pressured to choose careers that are practical, stable, and lucrative. This can lead to a trap known as the golden handcuffs, a well-paying job that we feel stuck in, even if it doesn't bring us joy or fulfillment. As the philosopher Alain de Botton put it, it is one of the unexpected disasters of the modern age that our careers have come to play so large a role in how we think about ourselves. In other words, we've become so wrapped up in our careers that we've lost sight of who we are outside of work. The philosophical career counselor. The ancient philosophers like Socrates and Confucius had a different perspective on work. They believed that work should be a means to an end, not an end in itself. They emphasized the importance of finding work that aligns with our values, our talents, and our purpose in life. As Confucius said, "Choose a job you love, and you will never have to work a day in your life." While this might sound like a cliché, there's a lot of truth to it. When we find work that we're passionate about, it doesn't feel like work at all. It's a source of joy, fulfillment, and meaning. So, how do we break free from the golden handcuffs and find a career that's more than just a paycheck? 1. Redefine success. Success is not just about money and status. It's about living a life that's meaningful, fulfilling, and aligned with your values. What does success look like for you? Is it about making a difference in the world, creating something beautiful or useful, spending time with loved ones? Define your own version of success and don't let society's definition dictate your choices. 2. Explore your passions. What are you passionate about? What makes your heart sing? What do you love to do in your free time? Don't be afraid to explore your passions, even if they don't seem like practical career choices. You might be surprised at the opportunities that arise when you follow your heart. 3. Develop your skills. What are you good at? What are your natural talents and abilities? Invest in yourself by taking courses, attending workshops, and learning new skills. The more you develop your skills, the more options you'll have when it comes to choosing a career path. 4. Network and explore. Talk to people in different fields, attend industry events, and research different career options. The more you explore, the more likely you are to find a path that resonates with you. 5. Take the leap. Don't be afraid to make a change. If your current career is not fulfilling you, don't feel obligated to stay in it. It's never too late to start a new chapter. As the saying goes, the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking. Don't settle. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The lawyer turned baker. A lawyer who realized they were more passionate about baking than legal briefs quit their job, went to culinary school, and opened their own bakery. The engineer turned teacher. An engineer who felt unfulfilled in their corporate job decided to become a teacher, inspiring young minds and making a difference in their community. The corporate executive turned artist. A corporate executive who always dreamed of being an artist quit their job, moved to a small town, and started painting full-time. The bottom line: your career is not a life sentence. It's a choice. You have the power to choose a career that aligns with your values, your passions, and your purpose in life. Don't let fear, societal expectations, or the allure of a big paycheck hold you back. As the philosopher Alan Watts put it, this is the real secret of life: to be completely engaged with what you are doing in the here and now. And instead of calling it work, realize it is play. Lesson 10. We can work anyway. Your philosophical guide to finding Zen in the grind and why your job doesn't define you. All right, folks, let's have a real talk about work. No, we're not talking about the TGIF kind of work, but the deep dive into the meaning we find in our daily grind, the value we bring to the table, and the power we have to choose our attitude towards it. We're talking about ditching the work-to-live mentality and embracing the idea that work can be a source of purpose, fulfillment, and even joy. Yes, even on Mondays. The work-life cage match. We often view work as a necessary evil, a means to an end. We clock in, put in our time, and clock out, dreaming of the weekend or our next vacation. We complain about our bosses, our co-workers, our commutes, and the endless pile of tasks on our to-do lists. But what if we could change our perspective on work? What if we could see it as an opportunity for growth, creativity, and contribution? As the philosopher Alan Watts put it, this is the real secret of life, to be completely engaged with what you are doing in the here and now. And instead of calling it work, realize it is play. In other words, work doesn't have to be a drudgery. It can be a source of joy and fulfillment if we approach it with the right mindset. The philosophical shift. The ancient philosophers, like the Stoics and Buddhists, had a lot to say about work and its role in a meaningful life. They believed that work is not just about earning a living. It's about expressing our talents, serving others, and contributing to the greater good. As the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh put it, work is not always pleasant, but it is always possible to find meaning in it. So, how do we shift our perspective on work and find more meaning and satisfaction in our daily grind? 1. Reframe your mindset. Instead of viewing work as a chore or a burden, see it as an opportunity. It's a chance to learn new skills, develop your talents, and make a difference in the world. As the saying goes, choose a job you love, and you will never have to work a day in your life. 2. Find your purpose. What is your why? Why do you do what you do? What impact do you want to have on the world? When you have a clear sense of purpose, even the most mundane tasks can become meaningful. 3. Cultivate craftsmanship. Take pride in your work, no matter how big or small. Strive for excellence, pay attention to detail, and go above and beyond what's expected of you. As the craftsman John Ruskin put it, quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. 4. Connect with your colleagues. Work is not just about the tasks we perform, it's also about the relationships we build. Connect with your colleagues, collaborate on projects, and support each other's growth. As the saying goes, teamwork makes the dream work. 5. Take breaks and recharge. Don't let work consume your life. Take regular breaks to recharge your batteries, pursue your hobbies, and spend time with loved ones. As the philosopher Bertrand Russell put it, the time you enjoy wasting is not wasted time. Let's explore how this concept is applied in daily life. The passionate teacher. A teacher who loves their subject and is dedicated to helping their students learn and grow finds joy and fulfillment in their work, even when dealing with challenging students or administrative tasks. The purpose-driven entrepreneur. An entrepreneur who is driven by a mission to make a positive impact on the world finds meaning and purpose in their work, even when facing setbacks and obstacles. The mindful janitor. A janitor who takes pride in their work, who sees cleaning not just as a job, but as a way to create a clean and welcoming environment for others, finds dignity and satisfaction in their daily tasks. The bottom line, we can work anyway. We can choose to see work as a burden, or we can choose to see it as an opportunity. By reframing our mindset, finding our purpose, cultivating craftsmanship, connecting with our colleagues, and taking breaks and recharging, we can transform our work into a source of joy, fulfillment, and meaning. As the philosopher Alan Watts put it, This is the real secret of life. To be completely engaged with what you are doing in the here and now, and instead of calling it work, realize it is play. Thanks for sticking with us through these incredible lessons. Remember, philosophy isn't just about pondering the universe. It's about practical steps to live a better, more fulfilling life. If you enjoyed this episode, hit that like button, subscribe, and share it with someone who needs a little philosophical wisdom in their life. See you next time on Stoic Saga, where we turn ancient wisdom into modern success. Stay curious, stay inspired.